for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, July the 3rd, 2016. Colonel Williams is the speaker of this service, teaching on The Fivefold Ministry is the Expression of Jesus.
Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead me, guide me, and instruct me. And I pray the word of the Lord will go forth, Lord. It will go forth with simplicity and understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of all our lives, and to His Son, Jesus Christ. I love that Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. To His precious Holy Spirit, I want to say I love you in Jesus' name. To Patty and Kevin and other fivefold ministry gifts. And like they said, in many churches that I've visited, officers, members, and friends. Amen. It's always a blessing to talk with you. And I'm really excited about tonight. I'm used to holding a mic in my hand. But I'm going to try to be as stiff as I can.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Give Jesus a praise, brother. I can move around now. I want to say something tonight. Amen. That I love each and every one of you. Some of the things that might be said is going to be said in agape love. Is that right? The only attack is on a demonic kingdom. I love each and every one of you. Amen. All right, let's get started. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Let's look at verses 9 through 10. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 9 through 10. God bless you, Sister Jerry. Receive it. Amen. And rest of the saints. All right. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them." So the Lord says that when He's creating a new thing in the earth and heavenly realm, God says He will speak to the prophets as well as the prophetic people. Now look at verse 10. "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." So here we see that God is doing a new thing in the earth realm. And the Lord says that He wants a new song. I want to share something with you. But let me say this. There are godly men and women. There are godly fivefold ministers. And some of them I would love to receive their baton. There are godly pastors. There are pastors who love Jesus. There are pastors who would give their life at being shepherds for the sheep. But the Lord says that He's doing a new thing. Let me share something with you. We're seeing pastoral burnout by the numbers. There's a percentage of active pastors that are divorced. There's a percentage that have been fired or pressured to resign at least once in their careers. There's a percentage of pastors who don't know what to turn when their family or personal conflict or issues arise. There is a percentage of pastors that feel burned out with people after many years of ministry. There is a percentage that say that being in ministry has been an outright hazard to my family. There is a percentage of pastors who are suffering burnout from their frantic schedules and other unrealistic expectations. There's a percentage of pastors' wives who say the greatest danger to them and their family is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual burnout. Could it be a lack of delegated authority, not delegating authority? It could be a number of things. There's a percentage of pastors that say they have experienced depression and burnout to the extent that they took a leave of absence from their ministries. There's a percentage who say that their spouses believe that being in pastoral ministry has been hazardous to the health of the family. There are many pastors' wives who say, I don't have any close friends. There's a percentage of pastors who are full of stress and anguish and worry and bewilderment and depression and fear and alienation, but they are trying to keep a strong, agape, loving face around the people. There is a percentage of pastors who feel as though that they're in the wrong ministry. I remember when David Wilkerson was in Miami, this has been years ago, and he was speaking at a pastor's conference. And there were hundreds of pastors there. And David thundered from the stage. He said, there are many pastors here that you are operating in titles and that God has not called you to operate in. And half of the men there started crying and weeping because they walked into the pastorate because grandma or grandpa was a pastor. Or because many of them, and I've heard prisoners say this, when I get out of prison, I'm going to be a pastor because that's where the money is. I've heard men say that I'm going to be a pastor because not only is that where the money is, but I can't seem to get a job, so I think I'll be a pastor. We're living in a time when people are walking in certain titles, fivefold ministry titles, and they don't even understand the characteristic or the function of how that ministry is supposed to operate. The Lord says in Isaiah 42, I'm doing a new thing. Say that with me. I'm doing a new thing. Not myself, but Jesus is doing a new thing. I want to use as a subject the fivefold ministry, an expression of Jesus Christ. Fivefold ministry, an expression of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 25. The book of Exodus chapter 25. Let's begin to look at verse 9. Once again, that's the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, Prophet Moses was obedient to divine order. God revealed to the prophet the pattern of the tabernacle. The word pattern comes from a Hebrew word called tapnith. And what tapnith means is pattern, plan, construction, or it means what? Figure. I looked up in Roget's College Thesaurus and I found that a pattern is a mold, it is an example, it is a design, it's a model, and a blueprint. Now, I want you to look at the book of Exodus again, chapter 25. Look at verse 40, please. In verse 40, the Bible says, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mountain. In other words, God told Prophet Moses, I've showed thee the pattern where? In the mountain. Does everybody see that? Prophets and prophetic people see patterns. They can see blueprints in the spirit. And we're living in a time where there's a restoration of true, credible prophets and prophets back to the New Testament church. But we'll get to that later. Let's look at, once again, verse 40, and look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee. That word showed, I looked it up in Hebrew, it means to see in a vision or to gaze. To see in a vision or to gaze. Prophet Moses was shown the blueprint in a vision by the Spirit of the living God. Now, what was the result of divine obedience? When Moses built according to divine obedience and according to divine order, there were some results after he built according to the way God had revealed to him and showed him how to build. Here's the result. Look at Exodus chapter 40. Let's look at the book of Exodus chapter 40. Let's look at verses 33 and 35. In verse 33, the Bible says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. And I see that everybody can see that. He did what? He finished the work. Now what happened? Verse 34 says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Does everybody see that? The glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. Now, obedience to divine order, obedience to divine blueprint, it caused the manifestation of Shekinah glory. Now, I see in many churches, many men are building, and I hear it in Atlanta all the time, I'm building my church by the vision of Creflo Dollar World Changes Ministry. God bless Pastor Creflo. Or I'm building my ministry according to Proverbs Juanita Bynum. Or I'm building my ministry according to Joel Osteen. I have his visions. I remember when my wife and I were pastoring, and other people came into other churches, and they said, you need to bring the vision of the Baptist ministry into your church. And I told them, sweetheart, darling, anything with two heads is a freak. Anything with two heads is a monster. That is the vision of that ministry, and we have to hear what God says to us. I'm taking you somewhere. Divine order and divine obedience causes a manifestation of glory. There are many man-made ministries from the outhouse almost to near the White House that are man-made, and there's no power. Hear me out, saints. There's no what? Power. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. Let's look at chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, please. Let's look at verse 9 through 13. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 through 13. Where King David gave to Solomon by the Spirit of God the pattern of the temple. And Solomon had to build according to divine order. Let's start reading at verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father has, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off. Look at verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and what? Do it. Look at verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. Why? God would not let David build the temple because David was a man of war and he had shed blood. Then it says, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasury thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Now, in verse 12, it says, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. How did King David get the pattern? God gave it to him by the Spirit of God. Because it says so here in verse 12. And had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God, and all the treasures of the dedicated things. Verse 13 says, Also for the course of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. Now, here we have Solomon receiving the pattern that was given by the Spirit to King David. Now, the temple of Solomon was built according to divine obedience. Is that right? The blueprint, the model, the construction, the figure was given by the Spirit. Now that gives us some revelatory insight that God is concerned about everything that goes into his house. He was even concerned about the curtains and the furniture and the utensils. He even told them what colors to put even inside the temple. And there are many ministries that are building traditionally, or they are building according to somebody else's vision, and they are not in proper alignment by the Spirit of the living God. Now, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, please. Let's look at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was what? Finished. And Solomon brought all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of what? God. Now, divine order, divine obedience, finishing the work, and something happened. Let's look at verse 13 and 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. In verse 13 it says, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers will have one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now watch this. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now look at verse 14 real closely, please. So that the priest or the leadership could not minister, because why? The glory of the Lord had what? Filled the house. I believe that we are in a season or a kairos time, it's already begun, of apostolic prophetic obedience to divine order, that the church may receive a greater glory. Hear me out now. When Moses was obedient to divine order, when Solomon was obedient to divine order, they received the manifestations of glory. How many of you are with me here? We're in that time right now where God is doing a new thing in the earth realm among ministries. In the Roman Catholic governmental church system, the Roman Catholic priest is the head of the local church. He tells the people what to believe. He tells the congregation how to live. The priest controls who can and who cannot preach. The priest controls how the Roman Catholic priest controls how the tithes are to be spent. The Roman Catholic governmental system, people are absorbed in the priest's wisdom. The priest dominates in the Roman Catholic Church as a one-man show or a one-man showstopper on Mr. Hollywood. Where am I going with this? There can be a spirit of manipulation, domination, and control that can manifest in the governmental leadership in areas of the Catholic Church. Watch this. In the Roman Catholic Church governmental system, a group of Roman Catholic priests fall under the control of a bishop. Where am I going? Let me give you a parallel. In the modern day church, and please don't get me wrong, God is using, there are godly pastors, there's some here right now in this church, and God is using them. But I'm giving you an overall picture of what God is doing. There are pastors like the Roman Catholic priests. They are head of the local church. There are pastors like the Roman Catholic priest who tell the people what to believe. There are pastors like in the Roman Catholic Church, they tell the people how to live. The They are pastors just like the Roman Catholic Church. They control who can or who cannot preach. They're the only ones can pray for you. And I've seen it many times in ministry. The leadership is the only one that can pray for you. The only one that can cast out devils for you. The only one that can lay hands to heal for you. The leadership is the only one that you can receive wisdom. I have even seen people to the point, and this is true. Pastor, can I get permission to go to the bathroom? Pastor, can I get permission to go visit my mother? Pastor, can I go get permission to fulfill a task? In many levels of prayer, come on, saints. Come on, I'm going somewhere with this. There are many people who see the pastor as God and not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I met a woman one time I knew real well in Jacksonville, Florida. We were talking to her, and she would say, "My pastor said." I said, "But the word of God said, 'My pastor said, my pastor said.'" I said, "The word, my pastor said." I said, "Sweetheart, you're under post-hypnotic suggestion." I said, "Sister, you need deliverance from mind control. You need deliverance from spiritual mind control." I said, "Because you're not giving me the word of God. You're so bound, you give me what the pastor is saying." This is not an attack on pastors. They're godly leaders, saints of God. But what I'm saying, that the enemy is trying to bring us a dual manifestation. How many of you listen to me?
Amen.
We're living in a time now when the Lord says, "I'm going to do a new thing." That means that the winds of reformation are blowing, the winds of change are blowing, and God is returning the church to New Testament church order, or to proper order. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11, please. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." I want everybody to listen to this. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, please turn there. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you," verse 21, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution." The word restitution means the times of refreshing, or the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. In other words, Christ is being held in the heavens. We're in the times of restitution. God is bringing restoration to the church. He's bringing the church back into proper divine alignment and obedience so the church can receive the greater glory. Haggai chapter 2 prophesied that the glory of the latter day house shall be better than the former. But before God can bring a greater glory, there must be some alignments and some proper adjustments made in the church. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 1, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached before you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." This restoration of all things includes the restoration of apostles and prophets to take their place alongside the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. In other words, for years, we've told the apostles and we've told the prophets to take a back seat. We don't want you in our church. But God, the winds of change is now blowing. God says that I want to bring a restoration to all my fivefold ministries. I want the apostles and the prophets. I want them brought right alongside the pastor in proper divine alignment, in proper alignment, because this is the kairos time of restitution.
Amen.
Listen to this. To take together these fivefold ministries will equip the believers for the work of ministry. Along with the restoration of the office of the apostle and prophet, God's restoring all the gifts of the Spirit, and they will be greater gifts than what the early church had. And I believe by faith, saints of God, that we thought the early church was raising the dead and casting out devils and moving and healing, but God says, "I'm bringing a restoration, I'm bringing a restoring to the body of Christ. You're going to see greater works like you've never seen before, only when my church comes into a proper alignment." Listen to this. Has the first century believers turned the world upside down with the power of the Holy Spirit? Which means they begin to teach about the prophetic revelation gifts. They begin to perform apostolic ministries. They taught the people how to prophesy forth the word and the heart of God, as Jesus did in John 8:28, and to do apostolic works that Jesus did. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. And as the church does this, the world will be impacted by a great harvest of souls, and the bride of Christ will be fully protected for the Lord's return. Now, many times when we talk about the fivefold ministry, people get upset, they get mad. Well, first of all, I didn't write the Bible. Amen? I didn't write the Word. I love the Word. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles. Why is God using a number system? Why is the Lord using numerics? First apostles, secondarily prophets, third the teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongue. Now, God says, God has set some. It didn't say that Colonel Williams set them in the church. It says that God has set some in the church, first apostles. The Greek word proton means first in rank, first in order, first in place, first in time, first in space. Now, God said that, and what's so hard about if God said first apostles? I'm going to go there. I'm not stereotyping. In many of of our black community churches, everybody wants to be the bishop. 1 Timothy 3 says a bishop is a desired office. But we make the bishop a dominant anointing. We make the bishop a dominant grace. The Bible says, first apostles. Hello, saints of God. I had a minister a couple of months ago, and he was telling me, he said, I'm a pastor. I said, well, God bless you, brother. He said, well, I read a book, brother, that the gifts are not for today, brother. And I read a book, brother, that all apostles are dead. And I read a book that, brother, the fivefold ministry is not for this time. I said, you're a pastor? Yes, I am. I said, well, you one of the fivefold ministries, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You shouldn't be a pastor, sir, if you don't believe in the fivefold ministry. Hello, saints. See, God is changing stuff. God is challenging the traditional system and the traditional order. Hello, saints. But he needs people that are fearless, that are not afraid. Look what it says. Secondarily prophets. Now we know that God knows how to count. If God says first, he means first. If God says second, hello saints. We don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what second is. Two. Two. What my grandbaby said? Secondarily, prophets mean God said, restore the prophets back to the church. And the prophet is a stone in their proper alignment. 1 Corinthians 14, there were New Testament prophets in the church. When in our church, there were people that came in, you could identify the gifts on that prophet. Multiple increased dreams and visions. You don't have to be a prophet to have dreams and visions. But this system, multiple dreams and visions. If the praise and worship wasn't right, pastor, the praise and worship is not right. You know, this system we're praying will stop binding devils. Jeremiah 1, rooting out, pulling down, throwing down and destroying. So God can do what? Build and plant. And the more I begin to watch her and begin to identify those gifts and align those gifts up with God's word, I thought this sister has a ministerial calling of a prophet. The only thing, the problem with her, she's been at the Brooks Reef too long, she's about to dry up. She's dying with her gift. She's sitting there like a rubber room doobie every church Sunday, and the gift is dying. Third, the teachers. Here we go. God can count. God knows the nation. Hello, saints. Hello. Hello, saints. You can't get upset with me because it's in the Word. It's in the Word. How many of you with me? It's in the Word. There is a restorational move. It's already happening. We'll restore the fivefold ministry back to the church. Identify gifts and calling in the people. Train the people how to operate in the gifts. If the leadership of the church don't know how to prophesy, bring some credible person into your church who can begin to equip the saints how to prophesy. If the leadership of the church doesn't know how to cast out devils, come to Lake Hammer. Get a credible deliverance team and bring them into your church and let them activate and release and train your people for the delivery of ministry. If the leadership does not know how to move in the healing dimension, then find some credible person who moves in that dimension of authority and power and bring them into your church. Activate them and release them for the work of the ministry. Because the Lord is saying in this hour, I want divine alignment. And in order for the church to see the glory, that greater glory, like we've never seen it before, then we're going to have to align ourselves properly. I believe in my heart there are people calling themselves apostles and prophets, amen, and teachers. They'll not a bit more understand the characteristics and function of that ministry or dinner goose. Hello, saints. And I also believe that more much as I study the apostolic and prophetic, there are some pastors walking in apostolic garments and don't know it. I know some pastors that are doing apostolic functions right now. They've got urban street evangelism. They're casting out demons. They have a healing ministry. They are equipping their people. They are training their people. They are feeding the hungry. And they're calling themselves pastors, but they're wearing these apostolic prophetic garments. Hello, saints. Hello. Amen. Now, apostle guides. Man, apostle is about sending you off to war, sending you off to nations. The pastor is about, you got to love them. You got to repent, brother. Oh, don't worry about what they do. Just bless them with Jesus. Just love them. How can the other man got a shepherd's heart? Because when you understand how these gifts function, you can know what to look for. It's awfully quiet in here. Do you still love me? Huh? Okay. All right, don't beat me up in the fire with us. I've been to bed tonight pulling arrows and darts out my back. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 8. All right, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave what? Gifts. He gave what? Gifts to men. What gifts did Jesus Christ give to men? Ephesians 4:11. He gave the gift of apostle, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. What did he give them for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the working of the ministry. For the edifying of the what? Body. I looked up the word gave. It comes from the Greek word didome. It means to bestow a gift, or to give over, or something to be administered, or appoint to a ministry. In other words, Jesus ripped his mantle in all five areas and gave those fivefold ministry gifts to what? To me. How many of you with me here? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 should say something like this. Consider the apostle. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. The Greek word for apostle is apostolos, which means apostle, messenger, one sent forth. And the apostle's ministry is an expression of Jesus Christ. Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 11. Think Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 21, verse 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Does everybody see that? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. The Greek word prophetes mean one who is moved by the Spirit of God. How many of you know that God is raising up prophets and prophetic sons and daughters? Amen? To be a prophet among the fivefold ministry gifts means that you are also an expression of Jesus. Jesus was an apostle, and here we see that Jesus also was what? A prophet. Is that right? Amen. Is that right, saints? And remember that he did what? He gave gifts to men. Now turn to 1 Peter 5 and 4. Once again, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Just bought a new Bible. I've got to get used to it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, I looked at the word shepherd. It comes from the Greek word archiponami, which means shepherd. Or it means that Christ is the head of the church. And it also means pastor. Another expression of Jesus Christ among the fivefold ministry gifts is pastor. And remember, the pastor told me in Atlanta that all the fivefold ministry gifts were a bunch of larkies. And I asked him, well, why are you a pastor? Because you are, if you are a pastor and God has truly called you to that position, then you are an expression of Jesus. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Here we have Jesus, an apostle, prophet, pastor. Turn to St. John chapter 1, verse 38. St. John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 38, please. St. John chapter 1, let's look at verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Some translations say, Teacher, where dwellest thou? The teacher is also an expression of Jesus among the fivefold ministry gifts. All right, turn to St. Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at St. Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at verses 23 and 24. St. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Now notice something here. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, or teaching evangelists, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria. Alright? And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, he healed them. So here we see that Jesus was an evangelist. Evangelists are all what? An expression of Jesus Christ. How many of you are still with me here? It is awfully quiet in this place. Is that right? Amen. You gotta love me though. You think I'm in error? Pray for me. Amen. All right. Now let's get to the fun part. Work out by Apostle Kevin Connor. It's called The Church in the New Testament. And what he does, he gives a breakdown on all the fivefold ministry gifts and how they are to function and operate in the New Testament church. Now, I'm not going to be able to read all the scriptures, but I'm going to, amen, minister to you as much as I can. I'm very hurting myself when I see people carry titles and they don't even understand the characteristic or they don't even understand the function of that ministry. Hello, saints of God. Hello. Let's look at the ministry of the apostle. Apostolic ministry is the fivefold ministry that was given by Jesus Christ. Apostolic ministry involves founding and establishing the New Testament church. Apostolic ministry involves preaching and teaching the Word of God. Apostolic ministry involves, as the Spirit will, signs and wonders and miracles. Apostolic ministry involves ordination and appointment of ministries. Apostolic ministry involves the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apostolic ministry involves preparation and placing of other potential ministries. Apostolic ministry involves church judgments and church disciplines. I have the scriptures for all that, but it will be too much time. So I pray that maybe you'll get the book. Amen? All right. Apostolic ministry Apostles have the vision for the whole church. Apostolic ministry is willing to sacrifice and suffer for the church. Apostolic ministry will be willing to be tested and to be proven. Apostolic ministry will be characterized by tremendous wisdom. Apostolic ministry and may apparently minister in other areas as the Lord will or when the need arises. Apostolic ministry is established to set God's house in divine order. Hello, saints. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, it talks about the foundation of the church was built by apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets are foundational builders of the church. They established the church. Okay? And look what it says. Apostolic ministry has the ministry of governments. And I hear so many people, and I talk to them sometimes, they may say to you, I'm an apostle, and I say, well, you ever been to a nation? No, I've been right here on the street corner of this church. I said, well, maybe you're an apostle to the street corner. I said, because apostles do more than just sit on the street corner. Hello? They establish, they found, they ground, they identify gifts and call it. They do much of the apostolic work. All right. Let's look at the next ministry gift, which is the what? The prophet. Okay. Prophets have been set in the church second. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28. There are prophetic people. There are people who have the gift of a prophet, but they don't know how to operate or they don't know how to function, and they're afraid to get around somebody who flows like Samuel and Elijah. They had the school of the prophets. They were mature prophets who were training and equipping the other prophets how to flow prophetically. Listen to this. Prophets are second in the order of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 29. Prophets are one of the fivefold ministry gifts. Prophets have a spirit of prophecy on them. Revelation 19, 11. Prophets are given for the perfecting and maturing of the saints. Ephesians 4, 11. Prophets were used to confirm the separation of Paul and Barnabas to do an apostolic work at the Antioch church. Many of you know the Antioch church in Acts chapter 13. Amen. There was teachers and there were prophets. There was the teaching dimension and the prophetic dimension. And then they ordained, who was that? Was it Barnabas and Saul to be apostles? All right, let's keep moving. There were prophets. All prophets use their prophetic utterances. And the prophetic words of prophets must be tested and must be judged. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 14. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other prophets judge. We are living in a time where people are prophesying in the church with the gift of prophecy. And if God is leading you to do that, fine. But you need some prophetic people in there who can test that prophetic word that's being released. Amen. Prophets must have their spirits under control and subject to the Holy Spirit. I've met a lot of credible prophets in my life. I mean, I've met some who can prophesy with accuracy, prophesy to the nations. I've met some who can move tremendously in deliverance and warfare. But I've met a lot of them who cannot control their spirit, man. Hello, saints of God. I had a young woman one time. I remember, and this is personal. I remember I got a hold of some money one time. And this little young girl, she was about 12 years old. Was she, honey? About 12 years old. And I knew that girl had a prophetic calling on her life. She said, Pastor Weave, I have a message for you. I said, go ahead, baby. She said, I saw you going to the bank with a bag of money. I said, baby, be quiet, please. She said, I had a dream about you. You was going to the bank with a bag of money. And I said, just be quiet. And she would come up with so many things, and they would be active for my dreams and visions. But she had nobody to mentor her, nobody to nurture her, nobody to tutor her in her gifts. Hello, saints. All right. Prophets and prophecies, they have people of visions, number 12. And dreams, number 12. They are people of words of wisdom and words of knowledge. They are people of miracles and healing and the gift of faith. Prophets have strong discerning of spirits. Very strong, they're keen, and they're discerning. Prophets can be inspired preachers of the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 and 20. I have about five scriptures, but because of the time. Prophets work alongside apostles because they are foundational ministry of the church. There were some prophets that came in our church one time, and they stormed in the church and said, I got a word for this church. And I said, Brother, we don't even know you. You're not going to give that word in our church. God sent me here to tell you, brother. I said, well, brother, you're not, Galatians 5, you're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance, which is self-control, and you're not manifesting self-control right now, brother. You're screaming and yelling at me. You're definitely not going to give that word in this house. Hello, saints. Hello, saints. You know, a leadership pastor got to guard the flock. Amen? These prophets were vagabond. They were renegades. Knowing what I know now, I know that apostles and prophets are foundational ministry. You know, when I see a vagabond prophet, I tell him, go find your apostle and get alongside of him. Amen. All right, let's keep moving. All right. Prophets of God will always have to contend with false prophets. Prophets will be given divine revelation by the Spirit of the living God. All right, let's look at the evangelists. This is a very tremendous work here, saints of God. All right. You can study Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8, and you can observe those scriptures, and you can see the manifestation of an evangelist. Philip was sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Philip did not fear the minister to the eunuch. Philip was willing to be led by the Spirit to this one soul in need. Philip knew the scriptures. Philip cast out devils. Philip moved in evangelism as mighty signs and wonders and miracles. I know evangelists right now, they told me, well, the only thing I'm supposed to do is just go out there and witness. I say, no. Evangelists move in signs and wonders and miracles. No. Evangelists is like Philip. They move in the miraculous. Evangelists at times, God will use them to contend and to challenge disoriented systems. All right. Let's go on. Let's look at the teacher, the ministry of the teacher. The reason I'm moving fast, because I'm not going to be able to cover all this on the tape. I just want to give you an overview. Amen. To provoke your thoughts. To get you thinking. Amen. All right. Let's look at the teacher. All right. A teacher should have an anointing, an unction in his teaching. A teacher should learn to depend on the inner teacher, the Holy Spirit. Okay. A teacher should remember that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. A teacher should be able to speak with authority, knowing from whom he or she received the words. A teacher should follow the laws of communication and bridge the gap between himself and the hearers. A teacher should be a sound theologian and be able to give wholesome doctrine. A teacher should be a sound hermeneutician and know both the science and art of rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. Is that right? All right, did I miss anybody? Say again. Say it loud. Somebody in this room. Hold on 1 minute. Let me get there.
Amen. I think I bypassed it.
Hold on 1 second. I might have bypassed it here. Amen. I think I did. Oh, ministry of a pastor. Oh, that's so much here. So many scriptures. This is good. Thanks. All right. The ministry. Qualification of a pastor. A pastor would be one whose voice that the sheep will recognize. There will be that inner sense that he has the voice of the Spirit in him. John 10:3. A pastor will be sensitive to his sheep. He will sit where they sit and identify with them. Job 2:13. Ezekiel 3:15. A pastor will call his sheep by name. Personal contact is his delight. I know some pastors right now, they've been pastoring their congregation for years, and they may ask someone, what's your name? Pastor, I've been here for 10 years. You Lucy. A pastor should know their sheep, amen? A pastor will have love and compassion for the sheep. He will love them, and they will love him. Love will not be legislated, but generated. I like that. Matthew 9:36-38. A pastor will be willing to lay down his life for the protection of the sheep. A pastor will be willing to stay with the sheep when he sees the wolf coming. He will not flee and forsake them. A pastor will constantly care for the sheep. John 10:13. A pastor will always be on alert for other sheep to bring them into God's fold. A pastor will recognize the unity of the flock, and that there is only one fold that he's been entrusted with some of God's sheep. John 10:16. A pastor will recognize that he is an under shepherd, responsible and accountable to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. The sheep are not his, but they belong to the Lord. John 10:16. A pastor will know his sheep and be able to distinguish them bleeding and murmuring. A pastor will feed the flock of God. He will supply fresh water. A pastor will minister healing to the flock. He will seek the lost, bring back that which is driven away, bind the broken heart, heal the sick, and strengthen the disease. A pastor will not be lord over God's flock or rule them with force or a cruel hand, but will rule with love. Ezekiel 34:34-4. Now, if you want any more information, get the book. But amen. God is restoring the fivefold ministry. Hello, saints of God. God is restoring the fivefold ministry. We are praying for a greater glory. We are praying for an intense glory of God's presence. We are praying for power. But God is realigning the church by divine obedience and by divine order as he realigns the temple of Moses and Solomon's temple. Because of divine order, they were able to receive the glory of the Lord. Hello, saints of God. This is no way, and let me stress myself again, this has not been an attack on pastors. There are some pastors, I would love for them to pass. I would love to sit some around some of these old brothers and be mentored by them and be nurtured by them and receive an impartation from some of them, or they can pass me the upper tongue. But I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you what I see that God says that I am doing what? A new thing. And God is restoring the fivefold ministry gifts. God desires that the people be equipped and be trained for the work of the ministry. God desires that gifts be identified. Listen, gifts and calling be identified. Hello, saints of God. Many people are getting hurt because they've accepted people who call themselves a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist, and they themselves don't understand how that gift is supposed to function or operate. When you get an understanding of how that gift is to flow, you can identify the fruits that are operating in that person's life. Ask me. I'm a man that's been hurt many times in Florida by false prophets. Hello, saints of God. I have nothing to do against a man. If you say God told you to give $1 million prayer line, everybody come up and give you $1 million. Well, that's you and God, brother. But it's so much fake stuff out here, saints of God. And we need to understand how those gifts are to function and how those gifts are to operate. A lot of pastors are in trouble because they don't want to delegate authority. Hello, saints. Hello, saints. But God is changing that through the fivefold ministry. He's setting proper alignment in order so that the church can receive a greater glory. Listen to this. Listen to this. I remember when I met my wife in church. Now, they're good pastors. The pastor in Florida told my wife that she would be under a curse if she left the church and married me. Hello, saints. The pastor told my wife, am I right, honey? That she would be under a curse if she left the church and married me. Now, I admit there are people who leave the church in the wrong way. Is that right? But releasing curses is taboo. Hello, saints. Hello, saints. That pastor was operating in witchcraft, manipulation, domination, and what? Control. Many times I've heard pastors say, God will speak to them first before he speaks to you. Well, the problem with that, when you put your whole life upon the one person, hello, saints. Hello, please, I'm going to say it again. I'm not attacking pastors. I'm saying when things are not in order and not in alignment and God is changing the system. Many times I've heard pastors say God will speak to them first before he speaks to you. The problem with that, you're putting your life upon the one person. When Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will what? Follow. Come on, saints. Hello, saints. If you are sheep and not a goat, you should learn the prophetic to hear God's voice. A pastor in Florida told her members, a female, you are forbidden to fellowship with your friends. Sir, are you a cult? Because your friends are not saved. But what about witnessing to these friends? What about ministering to them about Christ? I can agree in a sense with that. But what about ministering? What about bringing them to church? Why couldn't we say that phrase? It bothers me what I see pastors preach over and over again. Submission and accountability. Submit to me. Submit to me. Be accountable to only me. Submit, submit, submit. And my antennas go up. Because that sounds like witchcraft control. I know a young woman that I grew up with as a child. The pastor would tell her, submit, submit, submit. Be accountable always. That's all he talked about. He lured her in the pastor's study one day. Yep, passed out a pig leg. And he tried to rape her. She told me, Brother Kerner, I'll snatch that pig leg off and hit him with it. Well, I laughed too. Hit the pastor with the pig leg. Because he tried to rape her in the pastor's study. And all his messages were, submit, 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 be accountable to me, be accountable to me. Control, control, manipulation, domination. Hello. There are many reports of pastors and leaders publicly embarrassing people, humiliating them. Hello, saints of God. How many of you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance and temperance and self-control? Hello, saints of God. I've been around pastors a lot, and some of you have too. I've seen them in Florida do some awful things. Amen. But I've been around some godly pastors, some men of God who I just could feel the presence and feel the agape love of Jesus when I had to get around them. I just stand there and look at them. That man is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Many pastors and leaders can manipulate through giving. You're not going to be blessed unless you give to a church. My wife and I went to a New Year's Eve watch night service. The pastor said, everybody who will give will never want for anything anymore. I told my wife, huh? I asked my wife, I said, huh? I can't believe that. If I give him my money, then I never want for anything anymore. The Bible said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. So that's in violation of God's word. Is that right? All right. Let me leave the pastors alone. They're prison men, some of them. I love them. Amen. Amen. Come on, saints. There's some of these church folks are causing spur out among many leaders. But here's what we're saying. We're saying that God is doing anything. We're saying that the Lord says, I want my apostles and prophets brought back alongside with the pastor, the teaching, the evangelist, and I want a restoration to move in my church. Hello, saints. I want gifts and callings identified. I want the people, Ephesians 4:11, equipped and trained and perfected for the work of the ministry. I want an understanding of how each one of those gifts operate, the characteristics and functions of each ministry. Hello, saints. The Lord has blessed me right now to walk into a church and see strengths and weaknesses. We went to Mexico. We trained. The pastors have a team. We trained them in deliverance. Now they're training others in deliverance. We saw them being trained and equipped in urban street evangelism. They're hitting the streets. We saw them training people how to operate in the gift of faith, in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, 1 Corinthians 12. We were seeing them buying books and materials and bringing credible people in how to operate in those gifts. We are watching them have a healer team that moves strongly in healing. And we are now hearing that they have a prophetic presbytery. A prophetic presbytery is when they sit you in a chair and the strong prophetic people get around you and they begin to minister to you to words of knowledge. Or they may prophesy through the gift of prophecy, direction and direction and instruction to you. This is what the church is doing. And now they are moving in power and signs and wonders. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close out. How many of you know don't take all day to just say what you have to say? Amen. Mother Shirley, a couple of years ago, gone in here with it. And I think I spoke about it the other night. Lightning and thunder and the weight of God's glory came down so heavy. It had me where I was afraid to minister. When the glory hit down out of 700 people, nobody touched nobody. Demons started manifesting all over the church. And you could feel the weight of his glory. And I said to myself, they are aligning the church according to a fivefold ministry, governmental ascension gifts. They are being obedient to a divine order. The pastor of the church and his wife are stepping out of that pastoral grace, and they're doing an apostolic function.
Man.
And God is pouring down intense glory in that house. Mother Shirley, you know, they've planted another church in Kuala. They planted another church downtown Cuernavaca. Now they're planting another church with Oscar Jr. in another area. But it took someone like Miss Shirley to take a team into that region, an apostolic prophetic team into that region, and we would go into the mountains and prophesy against the satanic gates in the mountains. We would have communion in the mountains. We'd pull down demonic strongholds. They were teaching them, Miss Shirley, that praise and worship, how to use the banners, and now those people are flowing. Hello, saints of God. We're in the time where Jesus wants his expressions restored back to the church. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, occupy until he comes back. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. You know, I heard a prophetic word a while back that God is raising up people who will challenge the traditional order. Men and women who will not be afraid to go against the system. Is that right? Only they must be in alignment with God's word. Amen. Father, I just thank you for the word. I thank you how, oh God, you gave me the boldness and you gave me the grace to bring this word forth in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Father, that many will, that will be thought-provoking for many. They will think. And I pray that many will study the word for themselves. If the word says first, apostles, your word means first, apostles. Your word says secondarily prophets, thirdly teacher, your word means what it means. And whether we like it or not, Father, that's your word, and we must obey your word. Not part of your word, or not take your word to be what we want it to be and how we want to function in it, but to align ourselves properly with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All heads bowed, please. This is the one more night, and let's move and see how the Lord begins to move. Father God, we pray, Lord, tonight for healing and for deliverance in Jesus' name. I want everybody to repent before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. If there's something you might have missed these last three days, ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light on your heart. Did you miss any area that you have not released to the Lord? I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to shine a spotlight right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine a spotlight in those areas right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, let the Holy Spirit shine a spotlight right now, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whatever areas we miss right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind the powers of darkness, principalities, the powers of heavenly places, satanic thrones and dominions. I bind every earthbound spirit, every demonic reinforcement. I bind spirits beneath my feet. And I bind the strong man operating in them that's hidden for the last 3 days. Hidden the secret sin, Father. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I even break curses. Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. And we have authority to break curses. And Father, we break curses all the way back to Adam and Eve. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Those areas that were missed. Oh, amen. All right. What we're going to pray after is this. Demons hide behind curses. Whenever there's a curse, there are demons. Proverbs 26 and 2 should say something like this. A curse causeless shall not come. A curse must have a reason to come. And many times when you break a curse, then demons will pop out. All right, so we want to break some curses. I heard some things today in the bones, and it really bothered me today. Someone that I was praying with, I'm not putting you on the spot, I'm just saying I want to go after that. All right, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the holy angels who are here to war, here to fight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let's start with the bones. All right. The Bible says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, and she that maketh him ashamed is rottenness to his bone. All right, I break all curses of rottenness to the man's bones. Well, this woman has embarrassed him in public or tried to embarrass him right now. Well, your bones, no moisture in the bones, dry bones, brittle bones, osteoporosis, come out now in Jesus' name. Come on, speaking to the men now. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on, out of there now. Rottenness of the bones. Come on, bone cancer. Come on, out of there now in Jesus' name. No moisture in the bone, dry bone, brittle bone, osteoporosis in the bone. I break all curses of the bones right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, envy and jealousy is rottenness also to the bone. I come against envy and jealousy. I break that off of you now. Come on, breathe them out. Let them go. Move. Move in Jesus Christ's name. Follow Isaiah 4 and 4. You will cleanse the daughters of Zion by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. So, Father, we release the spirit of judgment and release the spirit of burning upon the demon spirits that are hiding behind these curses. And we command you to come out of the bones now in Jesus' name. Come out of the men's bones. Move, 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 move. Out, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. I break all curses of death and dying. Premature death and dying. Come on out of there. Fear of death. Fear of dying. I break the curse of dying. Well, you have family members who all have been dying over the past year prematurely. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. You've been having family members. I break that curse to Adam and Eve. They've been dying prematurely over the past few years. Come out of there now in the name of Jesus. Come on, say, free those curses, free those spirits out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of there now. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. I break the curses of abortion and the curses of miscarriage on your family line. There's been numerous abortions, there have been numerous miscarriages. I break that curse. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on, free those things out and let those things go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break generational curses where your ancestors did human and animal sacrifice. Many of you don't know what your ancestors did, but I come against those curses of human and animal sacrifice. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Bloodletting, bloodletting, bloodletting. Come on, blood sacrifices. Come on, move, move, move. There you go. They're getting started. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Come on. Come on out of there. The generational curses where your ancestors did human and animal sacrifices. Come on. Come on. Out of there now. Out of there now in Jesus' name. I break curses of bestiality. You don't know what your ancestors did. I come against sex with animals on your bloodline. Sex with goats. Sex with cows. Sex with dogs. Come on. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. You had nothing to do with it, but it might be on the bloodline. Come on, bring them out, Satan. Come on. Well, let's get them started. Give me one big cough all over this house. Move. 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 Here you go. Come on out of here. Come on out of there now. All blood sacrifices. Blood sacrifices. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. I break all African gods. Come on. All the African gods. Human sacrifice, African god. Blood sacrifice, African god. Rape and torture, African gods. Come on. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Cursing your parents. He that curseth his mother or his father, the raven shall pluck out his eyes. Eye problems because you curse your mother or you curse your father. Come on. And come on. Out of there. Glaucoma. Infirmity. Come on. Move. 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 Some of you, that eye problems may not have nothing to do with that, but that's an area. Come on. Move. Move, move, move. Dry eyes. No moisture in the eyes. Come on. Come on. Out of there now. Out of there now. Out of there now. Out of there now. We're going after curses right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. I break all curses where you dishonor your parents. You have no respect for your mother. You have no respect for your father. Come on out of there now. Come on. Come on. No respect. No respect. Come on. Out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Breathe those things out, saints. Breathe that. Breathe them out. Ear problems, spirit of diabetes. I break the curse of ear problems through diabetic spirit. Ringing of the ears, come out now in Jesus' name. All the witchcraft and occult spirits that's causing a ringing of the ears, I break that curse now. Come on, all the ringing in the ears, ear problems. Come on out of there now. There you go. Oh, breathe them out, sister. Come on, out of there now. Out of there now. Come on, breathe them out, sister. Breathe them out of there in Jesus' name. I come against eczema. Enzema that came in through fear and through stress and anxiety. And it also came through the curse of disobedience. Come on. I break the curse of rebellion. I break the curse of disobedience. Come on. Enzema, skin irritation, skin problems. Come on. Breathe those things out of there. Let those things go. In the name of Jesus Christ. I come against exploding blood vessels. Exploding blood vessels. Come on. Come on, exploding blood vessels. You'll be come out of hiding. Come out of hiding now. Come out of the hiding now. Unresolved anger, rage, resentment, hostility, bitterness, fear, stress, anxiety, and it carries a spirit of stroke with it. Come on. Come on. Spirit of stroke. Come on. Stroke. 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 There she goes. On that bloodline right there. Boom. Boom. Stroke on the bloodline. Come on. There, right there. Come on. Out of there. Out of there. Oh, come on. Stroke. All the stroke spirits. Come on. Come on out of there. Come out of hiding. Come on. I'll break that curse of stroke right now. Come on, I break the curse of stroke right now. I come against epilepsy. Come on, epilepsy. Deaf and dumb spirit. Deaf and dumb spirit. Come on out of there. Move, move, move. Come on, all demons hide behind curses. Come on out of there. Come on, breathe them out, saint. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. I come against rigidity in the marriage. You're frigid. The curse of frigidity. The curse of frigidity. I come against the curse of frigidity. You can't give yourself to your husband because you were molested or you were raped. Come on. Come on, frigidity. That's right. Out of there now. Out of there now in Jesus Christ's name. I break the curse of sex on your menstrual cycle. Sex on your menstrual cycle. All the blood flowing. Come on out of there now. I break that curse off of you. Come on out of there now. Come on. Come on. Read those things out, saints. Breathe them out and let them go. Come on. Come on. Let's make the devil scream. He's been making us scream all our lives. Come on. That's right. Let's attack him. Let's attack him. Let it be known that Lake Hamilton did the smackdown of the devil. Amen. Come on out of there now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Out of there now. Come on. Out of there now. And I break the curse of migraine headache. Migraine headache. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. I had a woman in Mexico. She didn't submit to her husband. Therefore, the enemy hit her with migraines. Come on, out of there now. All the migraine spirits, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on, migraine, rejection, self-bitterness, self-hatred, 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 double-mindedness, anger, insecurity. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on, breathe those things out of there in the name of Jesus. The spirit of burning, Isaiah 4. The spirit of burning. I release the spirit of burning, Isaiah 4. Burn them out, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, heart problems. All the heart problems. Unresolved anger, rage, resentment, hostility, bitterness. Heart attack. Heart attack. Heart palpitations. Come on out of there now. Come on, saints. I'll break the curse of heart palpitations. I'll break the curse of heart attacks in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, breathe those things out. Hemorrhoids. I break, hemorrhoid can be a curse. Not only spicy food, but it can be a curse. I break the curse of hemorrhoid through fear, through stress, through anger, through rage, unresolved anger, bitterness, and resentment in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there now, in Jesus' name. I break the curse of bitter root judgments. Bitter root judgments. You still got a root of unforgiveness against your spouse, against your ex-spouse, hello saints, against grandma, against grandpa, against your auntie, against your uncle. Bitter root judgments. I break that curse. Come on. Come on, let it go. Breathe it out. Breathe it out in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Hurt by pastor. hurt by leader. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Hurt by apostle, hurt by prophet, hurt by pastor, hurt by teacher, hurt by family. You will hurt, you will church hurt. The Bible talks about being wounded in the house of my friends. Zechariah says being wounded in the house of my friends. You are wounded in the house of your friends. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Church hurt. All the church hurt. Come on. Come on, set free those things out of there if you want to be free. If you want to be free, let those things go in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Spirit of dropsy, you drop to sleep. I break the curse of dropsy. You just drop to sleep. Come out of there. You be driving and then you drop to sleep. Spirit of dropsy, come out of there now in the name of Jesus. Kidney problems, leaky gut syndrome. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Leg problems. Come on. Leg problems. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against lupus. My sister had lupus, my niece had lupus, and it was because she felt rejected by my sister, which was her mother. When that rejection, when my niece and my sister resolved the issue, then that lupus went away. I come against lupus right now that's attached to rejection. I command the curse of lupus to go. 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 Come on, say, breathe those things out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lower back pain. I break the curse of lower back pain. Unresolved issues in the family. Lower back pain. Conflict with a female. Lower back pain. Come. In the name of Jesus. All right. Kundalini. Divination in the back. Come on up now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. All the court servants in the back. In the name of Jesus. All right. Let's go a little further here. Amen. God is good. God is moving. I want to touch some areas. Charismatic witchcraft. I break that curse. Cheating people out of their property. I break that curse. Cheating people out of their property. I break that curse. In the name of Jesus. All right. I break the curse of the destruction of the family priesthood. You're married, but you can't stay married. It seems like everybody in your family to get married, they wind up in separation or they wind up in divorce. All right, I break that curse now. Come on, out of there now. Out of there now, in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. All right, I come against incest. I come against the curse of incest. Come on, go in the name of Jesus. Incest with your sister. Incest with your mother. Intercourse during menstruation cycle. I come against lesbian tendencies. I break that curse. Lesbian tendencies. I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, breathe those things out, saints. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I come against all Mexican gods. Any attachment to Mexican gods. Come on, move in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of mistreating God's people. Mistreating God's people. Come on out now in Jesus' name. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. All right. We're not going to push them too hard. Amen. Because we've been having some powerful deliverance all this week. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. We're not going to push them too hard. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Many of you went through a lot of deliverance this week. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for miracles. Your word tells us that when Jesus told the disciples, no man can do a miracle in my name and speak unwisely unto me. Father, I thank you for this miracle ministry deliverance. And I thank you for what has taken place among the body of Christ these several days. I thank you for the healing and I thank you for their deliverance in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will seal every area where the enemy has stronghold. With the image of Jesus Christ. Seal every area of the soul, God, their mind, their heart. With the image of Jesus Christ, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bind any backlash. In Acts 16, when Paul cast the spirit of Python, or the spirit of divination out of the woman, the next verse said that the men of the city came and beat him up and left him for dead. So I bind any demonic backlash after this miracle ministry on your families, on your vehicles right now, on your person, on your finances, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, Psalm 91, that the angel of the Lord will escort you home and escort you safely to your jobs, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now come on, give the Lord a praise. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.